Excuse me. Your butt's in my way. We all have them. They're usually pretty big, though some may be bigger than most. I won't mention names. But we all have them. However, they always end up getting in the way. Here's what I'm talking about this morning for you that have dirty minds. But I can't. But I'm over 50. But I don't have an education. But I don't have any money. But I'm in the wrong job. But I'm in bad health. But I've been through so much. But I'm not very popular. But I don't have anything to offer the church. But. Do you recognize any of these buts? Every kind of but interferes with the life of just living an authentic life for God. The truth is, even the smallest but can interfere with our relationship with God. Whatever it is that God asks us to do, it seems to have a but. It's true. Think about it. When you are about to open the Bible and all of a sudden a big, giant but gets in the way. But I'm tired. But I have to get on Facebook. But I read the Bible last night. But the game is on. But I don't like Leviticus. I don't even like to read. But it's too hot in here. But when I read it, I just don't understand it. But it's so boring. Do you recognize any of these buts? A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He says, I've gone for 30 years. And in that time, I have heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. Well, this started a real controversy. Letters came to the editor's column, much to the editor's delight. It went on for weeks until someone wrote this response. I've been married for 30 years. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. And likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. So often, we simply look for excuses not to attend church. Seems to me, and I speak for myself, that it's real easy to just get up on a Sunday morning and be lazy. It's real easy to say, I'd go to church, but this and this or this or this or but. And we all know the longer we stay away from church, the harder it is to come back. Thank you. I speak from experience there also. I think we are too busy. We have too many activities throughout the week. But we don't include the church activities. We'd much rather go to a fun activity than a church activity. So here's another but. Some examples of this is we are busy with our families. I can't go to that Wednesday night service because my grandchild is playing soccer tonight. I can't go to Sunday service because I have to go to Grandma's house for dinner. She lives a long ways away. We have to leave early. But. We are busy with our friends. We're busy with our work. Can't go to church today, I gotta work. But if I don't, the boss is gonna be mad. But if I don't, God's not gonna be happy. We're busy with sports. We're busy volunteering. We are busy cleaning. I work a full-time job. The only time I got to clean my house is on Sunday. But. We're busy cooking. You know, I can remember a day when I was just a little tyke. My mother would cook Sunday dinner on Saturday. Not because she could go to church Sunday, which she did, but because it was considered a sin. Can you imagine that? Another one of them buts. We are busy with vacations. Oh, I worked so hard this week, I'm just going to sleep in. We are just plain busy. We are just too busy to be bothered by God. We are too busy to be faithful to his church. We are too busy to bother with the ministry of the church. So let me ask you this. What if God was too busy for us What if he woke up one day and said, you know what, I am just tired of running the world, the universe. And all I want to do is something else and left us on our own. What if you found yourself in a desperate situation and needed God's comfort? And what if he was just too busy to hear you? You see, we can't do God on our own terms and expect to come out on top. We must stop making excuses. Because excuses sets us up to fail. Excuse me. Moses did this when God spoke to him from the burning bush. God told Moses in Exodus 3, verse 10, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. What did Moses do? Moses had a lot of buts for that burning bush. But who am I that I should go? But what if they don't believe me? But what if they don't listen to me? You see, what it really came down to is Moses did not want to be forced out of his comfort zone. He was content exactly right where he was and wasn't out looking for a challenge. So Moses, like many of us, liked to have things the way we want them to be. No change, no stress, no effort. People in general enjoy comfortability. Going to church doesn't make me comfortable. When that preacher says something I don't want to hear, it does not make me comfortable. I don't want to go to church to have my feelings hurt. I don't want to hear from some cowboy up on the front of the church telling me I did something wrong. But. You see, God doesn't call us to be people of comfort. He calls us to be people of action. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to be. God wants us to serve alongside him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, we are laborers together with God. You see, he doesn't want our excuses. He wants our heart. I'm sure he gets frustrated with us at times. How could he not? We read where God begins to get angry with Moses because of all of the buts. And he finally chastises Moses and reminds him that God can do anything. All Moses has to do is to trust God through the process. Can you imagine how things would have turned out if Moses would have ignored God's call and never went to Pharaoh because he had so many buts? Many of us ignore God as well, and we tell him we are not good enough. We are not smart enough. We could never, and we just can't, are what we tell God. Excuse me. Some of you have heard me say many times, I'm not an educated man. I'm not. But I'm here to tell you that I could not get up here and do this, good, bad, or indifferent, without the Holy Spirit being at my side. This would not happen if I attempted to do this without God. It certainly would have not happened if I had continued to say, no, I don't want to. I'm not interested. That's exactly what God was telling Moses. That's exactly what God is telling all of us when we say we can't. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. What that's really saying is I don't have enough strength on my own. What that really is saying is without that strength, I can't do anything. So let's deal with that for a moment. Can Christians really do all things? Nope. You can't. But you can do all things that God asks you to do. God doesn't ask you to do everything. He just asks you to do what He wants done. And then says, I will be with you. I will give you the strength, the knowledge, and the know-how, and the desire when you do it with me. Perhaps there's some things we can do to help people come to church. Thought about this for a little while. And I come back and revisit that same thought every once in a while. What can we do to increase our numbers here on Sunday morning? Oh, we hear about just give a good sermon. People will come. Baloney. Just be friendly. People will come back. Maybe. We need to do this. We need to do that. But whatever it is that we need to have this church grow, we need to do it with God's help and God's strength. So here's some of the things that came to my mind as I was doing this study that we can do here in church to increase our numbers. When people come to church, cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. There will be a special section with lounge chairs for those who feel that our pews are too hard. Eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV late Saturday night. We will have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold. and fans for those who say it's too hot. That's why she stuck her tongue out at me. She's sitting there. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites that are present. Relatives and friends will be in attendance for those who can't go to church and cook dinner too. We will distribute stamp out stewardship buttons for those that feel the church is always asking for money. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to see God in nature. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick today. I like this one. The sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who never see the church without them. We will provide hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher and cotton for those who can. So we've had a few chuckles. Now we have blame. Blame is the oldest game that has been around since the beginning of time. Not much has really changed for us throughout the years, has it? We still want to blame others for our mistakes. We want to blame others for our shortcomings. And we want to blame our sins on others, including Satan. We all have excuses as to why we don't do this or that. It seems whenever we fall short of living the life that God desires for us, we have a but as to why we're not. And placing the but on other people and on Satan is simply wrong. I would go to church, but Satan told me not to. Hogwash. Simply not true. Don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up for Satan. However, I am standing on the word of God on this and taking any power away from Satan that we may be placing on him by saying he is the reason. You're giving Satan that power. Can you imagine how big a smile he has on his face when we say, Satan made me do this? He's the reason. He's in control. Baloney. He is not the reason. He is not in control. Only if we allow him to be. We actually give Satan the power that he does not have. The blame is because of us and no one else. We can only blame ourselves. I'm not doing this because, but. Blame yourselves for that but. It is because of us that we skip church. It is because of us that we stop praying. It is because of us that we no longer read His Word. It is because of us that we allow them to hide the Ten Commandments in the closet. It is because of us that we don't deserve, don't get involved, and never commit to the church. When we use but, we are telling God a few things. Here's the message we're sending. We're telling God that He is wrong, and we're telling God no. That word but is a three-letter word, but it's converted into a two-letter word every time you use it. The two-letter word is no. I don't care, God. No, I am not doing this. We're telling Him that we don't have faith in Him. We're telling Him that we do not believe that we can do all things through Him. We're telling Him that we are just too weak and just not that strong. Hogwash. Excuse me. Your butt's in the way. God never calls us to do something that we cannot do. He expects us to be obedient to Him and not have any buts about it. God gives glorified people benefits, and we get blessed when we don't use buts against God. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the but. And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make this morning. If your but is bigger than your why, then excuse me, but your but is in the way. We need to shape up spiritually. We need to begin a healthy relationship with God right now, right here this morning. And we need to get our butts in shape. You see, the world says no, but God says yes. The world says can't, but God says you can. The world says won't, but God says yes, you will. The world says stop, but God says go. The world says don't, but God says do. The world says defeat. But God says, victory. So this morning, if you are stuck in defeat, then excuse me. Your butt's in the way. And all of God's people said,